Hey guys, this is Mark, a.k.a. Bolo slash True Shaft from the boards from Indianapolis, Indiana, home of Gen Con. Love the show, love DMing and playing Neverwinter Nights, and especially role-playing Half-Orcs. Because, you know, the only thing better than a big old club is a big old club with a nail in it. Hoo-wah! You're listening to the only Neverwinter Nights podcast.
Someone give me a tankard! This is going to get good!
It's the Neverwinter Nights podcast.
The Neverwinter Nights podcast.
The only podcast for the Neverwinter Nights game series, bringing you news, interviews, reviews, and more for the community by the community. You can find us online at neverwinternightspodcast.com. And now, on to the show.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to the one and only Neverwinter Nights podcast. This is Jay, a.k.a. Naminka Naroda.
Hey, and this is Trey, a.k.a. Ashokan, and I've had my mac and cheese, and I'm ready.
All right, the dynamic duo back in the studio. Hey, that rhymed.
What, the mac and cheese or the dynamic duo?
No, the dynamic duo back in the studio. I didn't even plan that out.
So you're a poet and don't know it.
Yeah. Who'd have thunk it? Hey, everybody, this is episode 66. We are back and live after being killed. I guess you could say we spent a few days in a fugue plane recently. So I guess you could say we spent a little bit of time in the fugue plane this week.
Yeah, but we kind of went and checked it out. We checked out a place that kind of brought back some memories, didn't we?
Actually, I was referring to the hosting company killing our side.
Oh, sorry. I thought you were talking about when we went and played on Noctor's Realm.
Yeah, we'll talk about that. Let's talk about that, too, and then we'll talk about the things that have been going on with the site a little bit later. So,
okay.
We did some Neverwinter Nights 1 persistent world jumping this week, and it was a lot of fun. Kind of brought back some memories, didn't it? We went to Noctar's Noble Realm. It's a Neverwinter Nights 1 persistent world, and it was running a modified Nordok module. Since we had run a Nordok server before and played quite a bit there, it felt like home, yet slightly different.
Yeah, it was pretty fun going through all the areas that we used to go through with everybody. Although I will say, when we did finally meet up with some people that were on the server, they weren't very talkative. I guess there wasn't very much role-playing going on that server.
Well, it wasn't listed as a role-playing server.
Oh, that's true. So, that's right. It was an action.
It wasn't in the category. So.
Was it an action?
But we did.
Or story?
Yeah, I think it was action. I can't remember if it was action or story, but yeah. So we did run across a character named Gabby, who wasn't very Gabby. She's on a quest and was in a real big hurry. We had a little bit of fun with it because when we created our characters, I created a ranger and you created a monk, if I remember correctly.
Uh-huh.
But we created them as elf brothers, and so we dressed them the same and made them look the same.
Kirk
and
Mordigan. Them.
And yeah, I can't remember what mine was. So anyway,
Kirk Mordigan and Caldron Mordigan.
Yeah, Caldron Mordigan. We were the Mordigan brothers from
somewhere,
and it was great from somewhere. Yeah, we had a lot of fun with it because we were questing together, and everyone's coming up saying, "Hey, are you guys twins?" So it was fun.
So we met a player named Cyan who had the blue cloak on. Gabby, as you mentioned. She ran through the screen several times.
Yeah, she was fast. She had the boots of haste or something going on with her.
Yeah. Rizza was another player, and Valdor. Valdor didn't say much. I think Rizza said hello.
Yeah.
I think they were.
Anyway, I think it was fun. I think I will go back and play that some more. Maybe you and I can hit back in there, too, or we may be showing up in a persistent world near you. Sometime.
And we got to figure out where the wolves were. We couldn't find the wolves in the sewer like we were told on that one quest.
Yeah, that was a quest. We couldn't figure out where those were, so we may have to go back and find that some more. I did level. I think you did too. So we made level 3 in the time that we were playing. We went from started as a level 1 character, yet you automatically you leveled up to level 2 once you entered the world. And then through gameplay, we made level 3, so that was fun.
And I think when we ended the game, we were in the fugue plane.
Yeah. Some big bear. There was, I don't know if it was a dire bear. I don't think it was, but
I think it was just a brown bear.
Bears in this, yeah, the bears in this module have heavy crit points. They were kicking our butts big time.
Well, if I remember correctly, there were lots of areas in Nordok that If you didn't have enough people with you, you went down pretty quick.
Well, also, if the Nordok, the module we used to play, if you got out of, you need to level up to level 5 before you even leave the city.
Oh, that's right. I remember
and
that.
We were out of the city. So we need to do some more delivery tasks and stuff in town to get our level up so that we can take on the bears and stuff.
Yep.
But, again, it was fun. It felt comfortable, yet it was still exciting. Neverwinter Nights 1 still plays great, guys. I mean,
speaking of Fugue Plane,
I guess
our website went there this past week.
Yeah, for a couple of days. Started when episode 65 was being downloaded. So I've been
those millions arguing. And millions of listeners.
Exactly. So they said that episode 65 was causing lots of CPU high usage and IO problems. So they shut us down. And so I was online with them for a couple of nights in a row trying to get that all straightened out. We did get it straightened out, as you can tell, because the site is back up. We had to move all of our files to a server that's running in my house right now until we come up with a new hosting solution, which we're just waiting on an account to be created. We're using a service called Libsyn, and we'll be using all of our files to that location. And you should see some performance increases on download speeds. Even now, it seems like my server at the house is running faster than what it was off our hosting company.
Yeah, I was just about to say that.
I think I looked at it was like 10 or 15 minutes when I downloaded it from the hosting company, but when I re-downloaded it from my house and I was at work, it was like 4 minutes.
Oh, was it? Like, oh, cool.
Yeah. But when we get on Libsyn, they have a bigger network pipe, so they should go a lot faster there because that's what they are as a file hosting service, so it should just scream.
Speaking of download speeds,
yes.
Remember last week when we tried to do our first game day on with the Keep on the Borderlands?
Keep on the Borderlands, you all right?
Yeah, I was having all kinds of trouble downloading that file.
Oh, yeah, you were trying to download the PWC?
And come to find out, I had bad cabling out back in the ground. Had the old cable technician came in, and I can now download Lickety Split.
That's good. It's bad you had to forego a frustrating night on a game night.
Yeah, I know. I finally got on. I remember I saw your IM that said, hey, you don't need the PWC file. And I'm like, ah!
Right?
So I quickly go into the game because I had downloaded all the module files and everything that you needed to play single player. So I quickly go into the game, and you're not there.
Right?
I go, where'd they go? And then you had... Which
I think I've got problems with Neverwinter Nights 2 on this machine. This is the same machine that I was trying to play earlier in the year when I was having problems with the video card. Mm-hmm. And when I was having trouble with the video cards. And I had got a new video card since then, but it was still locking up on me when I tried multiplayer on this machine. So this Thursday, I'm using my laptop.
Oh, are you? Cool. So we're going to try that again this Thursday, right?
Yeah, we're going to try to. Because anyway, we had a really good time playing on Nocturne's Noble Realm, and I'm sad that I missed the Thursday night game night because of PC issues, but hopefully hopefully we'll get all of our issues worked out here in the next couple weeks and we'll be able to get in and play more consistently.
So, shout out to them. So, do we have some news this week?
Kind of not a whole lot that I could find. I know that the DM... FI 101, so you want to be a Neverwinter Nights, or so you want to be a DM module for Neverwinter Nights 2, which we talked about last week, has been released and has a front spot on the vault. So I know that one's really cool. So I know Carlo, one of the team out there, are really proud of that, I'm sure.
Yes, and he actually left us an official message on our NWM podcast voicemail. So why don't y'all take a listen?
Hello, podcast gang. This is Carlo from the DM Friendly Initiative, or DMFI. Want to give you a heads up that we're releasing the DM101 for NWN 2 tutorial mod on August 1st on NW Vault. It's an entertaining tutorial that should provide users with the skills necessary to become an NWN 2 Dungeon Master. It's primarily designed to teach all the basic DM skills, including the use of DMFI tools, but we hope that even experienced DMs can benefit from some of the tips and tricks included. Patch 1.13 from Obsidian has included some new DM features, so we're really happy that they're paying attention to DM clients, and also with DM 101 and some of the new DM-friendly modules on NW Vault. We can create some more interest in DMing in the multiplayer community as well. So, good luck, and hope to talk to you soon on DMing in NWN2 some more. Thanks, guys. Talk to you later.
Hey, I think Skunk posted some news out there about, it's kind of confusing, Obsidian Shores is holding a Mask of the Betrayer contest. I guess they are a persistent world.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, and they're holding a Mask of the Betrayer scholarship contest.
So Obsidian Shore is a persistent world, not to be confused with Obsidian
Entertainment, right.
Entertainment, right.
And I guess to enter, you're supposed to write an approved biography of a character that you would like to play on Obsidian Shore, as well as an essay as to how and why your presence in the Obsidian Shore community would be a welcome addition. And so I guess they're going to give away copies of Mask of the Betrayer to the winners. And they said they must have at least 10 people entered before they'll give away a copy. And if they get 20 entries, they'll give away 2 copies. And so on, I guess. So that's kind of cool. I guess they're trying to push their release of a new version of their Persistent World 1.39.
Right.
And they're having an open server week. So if y'all want to go over there and check that out, we'll have a link in the show notes.
Interesting. Maybe we need to jump on there and see what's going over there, going on with them.
We might do that. Hey, we had a new listener leave some comments. Cosmosis. I'm not sure how you say that. K-O-S-M-O-U-S. Cosmos. Anyway.
Pick one. Yeah, either one of those works right.
I guess he was listening to episode 65, and he was surprised no one had mentioned that you can scale monsters now with the 1.69 version of Nevermind 1, which I didn't know that. That's kind of cool.
Well, I think that Skunk did mention that, I do believe, but I think it may have been kind of glossed over in passing.
Because oh, really?
We were talking about that, and Skunk did say that the scaling was one of the things he thought was really cool about it, but we didn't really dive into talking about that. So, Cosmos, you're right. That is a great feature for Nevermind 1, because that's one of the really cool things that I thought was coming in for Nevermind 2, is being able to scale that stuff. So now that it's in Nevermind 1, too, that's awesome.
Cool. Do we have any events coming up, Jay?
I don't know if we've got any public events. I know that we have been working on getting our Thursday night game events up for the podcast team going on, but those are all being scheduled on the Neverwinter Connection site. And at some point here in the future, I know that we will be having some more public events, but we haven't got any scheduled right now that I know of. And kind of recapping, as guys knows, we continue to have some issues with this week with the site being down.
So we kind of had all kinds of issues kind of hit us there all at once, didn't we, with our website?
Yeah, we did. Over the last couple of weeks, we've had some issues with the site, from the hosting being locked down to us to we had some issues with our RSS feed there for a day or two until we fixed that. And then we've still got a issue. Well, but due to all the other issues with the hosting stuff, I haven't really had a chance to try to dive into working with the problem with the IE incompatibility with the forums, because working right with the development team, they say that it shouldn't be a problem. IE should work just fine. And using IE with their forums, which is the same module that we're using, it does work for them. So we're missing something. So I'm going to have to try to reinstall that and see if that fixes it.
Yeah, for those who haven't tried it yet, if you're using Internet Explorer, you can get into the forums and look around and read, right? But you can't post anything.
Yeah, can't post any new threads or reply to existing ones. It doesn't like it.
But if you use Firefox, I'm using Firefox 3.0, which is the newest version. Everything works fine. So if you need your podcast forum fix and just have to leave a thread, install Firefox.
Right, exactly. It works great. I've switched over to that, and it's been working wonderful. So, and thanks to all the people with the words of encouragement that have replied to the post out there about the site being down. And since we posted that, we're having the hosting issues. Many of your listeners have stepped up and made financial contributions to us to help with the new hosting stuff. So I really appreciate those guys. You guys are the true heroes in helping us keep here, so keep us going. So Sir Chet, Roannon, Lisa66, and Tiora. I hope I said that last one right. Thanks, guys. Everybody there has donated $5 to the effort of trying to keep the site up and going. So thank you. We appreciate that. So technically, that's given us about 4 months of, no, 2 months of hosting on a new file server. So that's cool. So for this week, I know we didn't say earlier, but we've got a great interview with Matt. You guys may know him as Kadron, who is the creator of Kadron's PRC pack. That PRC is the P little r C, which is prestige class as the D&D rules, and he taught me that, and you'll see that in the interview because I wasn't sure of it, what the difference between that was and the Player Resource Consortium. But he gets into that. He is a software developer and actually works for the Oklahoma State University, but lives in Florida. And part of the software he writes is kind of a ballistics statistic software. So if they say we're going to drop this bomb on this location, they run scenarios and tell them how much damage that'll do. Like whenever you hear stuff on like CNN that says they dropped a bomb somewhere and it did so much damage and so many dollars worth of damage and so much, like they've been using the software that he writes at that company. So that was pretty cool. Now what he's been doing though is he's been creating lots of the PRC, the way it's stated with Dungeons & Dragons, is those are prestige classes. So what he's doing is going back to the source books and making prestige classes that you can add to your modules or add to the games that are not necessarily default given to you with the Neverwinter Nights game engine, and adding spells and everything else and feats and everything that go along with it into this week's interview. Okay, today on the show, we've got Matt Wooten, a.k.a. Kadron. He's the creator of the Hall of Fame Kadron's PRC pack. Welcome to the show, Matt.
Thank you. Glad to be here.
So our famous first question is all we always ask our listeners to tell us a little bit about themselves. So go right ahead.
Okay. I'm a software engineer. I live in Florida, so I get to go to the Destin beaches quite a bit. They're maybe 15 minutes from me. And it's a little ironic, but I actually work for Oklahoma State University. They have a field office at Eglin Air Force Base. So it's a defense contract that OSU holds. And I've never been to the campus. I doubt I ever go. It's one of those weird things that's always hard to explain when you say, what do you do? What we do is weaponeering software. And the purpose of it is to say how effective a weapon is against a target for the various military branches. So when you see in the news CNN, they dropped this bomb or that bomb against a target, we told them ahead of time how effective it would be. Or, well, we wrote the software that they used to do that. So it helps the military do planning for real operations. So all the work we do, we get a real sense of, hey, you know, this actually has a dramatic impact and a real motivator to not just do another version of Office or Windows, because the guys in the field are using this for their ops.
So it sounds like it's a lot of very statistics heavy type stuff.
Oh yeah, it's definitely a lot of stats in the background. We've got a lot of systems analysts that work on that, and I work more on the software engineering side, putting the GUI together, calling all the computes and different modules that handle the statistics and make it presentable to the users so they can sit down and go, hey, this is what I want to blow up and this is what I'm going to use, and we'll tell them what the odds are and, you know, maybe what a better solution might be.
Wow, that does sound really cool. That's not that's more cool than the software I get to work it with, so, but it's still software, I think, is, and I think it's fun no matter if you're in software development, as game or any, you know, just regular development. I love it. So it's, of course, I'm a geek, so.
I love it, too. I mean, it's creative. It's fun.
Right.
Day to day, I mean, nothing's the same. Everything's always going to be a little bit different.
So taking that and jumping back into the Neverwinter Nights realm thing, so you've put together a PRC. What does that stand for, and how does that differ from, like, say, the Players Resource Consortium?
The PRC pack I've done, it's just the Wizards of the Coast's abbreviation for prestige classes. So the primary focus I do is try and add new prestige classes, kind of like the ones that are in there, such as War Priest and Shadow Dancer. I add more of those to the game and new spells and feats to go along with it. The Player Resource Consortium is a bunch of player or developers just like me, but there's a lot. There were, I think, five or six at least at one time. They all get together and do the same thing, but on a larger scale, and they were rewriting whole systems to try and make it exactly like pen and paper. I'm pretty happy if I can get close to pen and paper, because I don't have a lot of ties to pen and paper like they do.
Okay, so the Player Resource Consortium was probably formed like a group of individuals like yourself that decided to collaborate
together.
Kind of what
it's a lot of people that were playing Neverwinter Nights 1 that loved it, that wanted to add more stuff out of the source books, and you know, they had a talent to do it, put it together, and came out with that massive set of classes, I mean additions for the Neverwinter Nights 1.
Right. Well, now your PRC is not just prestige classes. There's spells and other stuff included in there as well, right?
Right. Yeah, I mean, well, prestige or Player Resource Consortium, yeah, I guess. It's not just prestige. I do a lot of spells and feats and even alternate class features. There's some of those coming up. It's kind of hard to come up with a name that covers everything you can add or fix. So PRC Pack was pretty much, I guess, a simple or the original intent of what it was going to be.
So I'm curious, you're playing Neverwinter Nights 2, and what caused you to become interested in wanting to create these, you know, prestige classes or custom classes and content for Neverwinter Nights 1? And I mean, excuse me, for Neverwinter Nights. Were you not just happy with the way that the default stuff was, or were there other characters that you wanted to play that you couldn't because of that? Or how did you get that? How did you get involved with that?
The biggest reason was when I was playing the official campaign, I almost always tend to play a paladin or a champion kind of character. And there's very little in there, either Neverwinter Nights 1 or 2, for pure paladins. You know, anybody who wants to go full in as a paladin, you know, the Holy Sword, champion, white horse, charging right in. There wasn't a lot of options, and there were in the pen and paper source books. So it's like, I could probably get into this, start learning how to mod and add a few PRCs and a lot of those spells that they were missing from the books and some of their class features, and, you know, try and expand what I wanted to see in the game. And I was thinking I'd stop then, and a year later I haven't quite stopped yet.
So your source for all the stats you use on is actually the pen and paper sources? Is that what I heard you said?
Oh, yeah, definitely. I mean, 95% of what I've done is all out of the source books. I try not to do custom stuff unless there's an area lacking in the source books that they really don't cover that I'd like to add. And I've done one class so far, and there's only one or two I plan to do. I mean, there's so much stuff in the source books. I mean, there's over 50, 60 source books that it's pretty hard not to find something that could be added to Neverwinter Nights 2 without having to come up with new stuff on your own.
So is it pretty easy to take it from the pen and paper source? And are there things lacking in Neverwinter Nights that makes it kind of a challenge?
Yeah, class-by-class basis, it can be pretty challenging. I mean, some of them, it translates perfectly over to Neverwinter Nights 2. Some of them, as just a side effect of it being a computer game, you really can't do it the way it was in pen and paper, or the functionality hasn't been exposed through the engine by the developers. So some stuff I can get, you know, 90% of the way there, but not perfectly like pen and paper just because I don't have the access to do it, or it's just not possible to do because of the way the game works.
Okay, so when I came across your PRC, I think it was when announced, but it came out of the vault, and you were working on version 1.23. What version are you on now, and kind of a general overview, what are some of the stats of what's in your pack?
1.23 I had just put out, put out shortly after we had talked, and it was introducing reserve feats, which are a new type of feats for spellcasters that allow them an unlimited casting as long as you have one of the trigger spells memorized. So, you know, if I had a fireball spell, I could use an unlimited little fiery burst around my character every time. And there were 9 or 10 of the reserve feats. Since 1.23, I'm currently up to 1.32.3 is on the vault, and I'm working on a beta for 1.33. Since then, I've added 8 PRCs. I've added the sneak attack functionality for all the spells that need it, 28 feats, 6 spells, some wild shape improvements like jewelry, embracer, and chants that are in pen and paper. They no longer have experience loss, and I try to get rid of as much of the spell loss as I could when they shift forms, but some of that I can't fix on the outside of the engine. Gave epic spells to bards, some crafting system tweaks. I've added quite a bit since then. The 1.33 beta I'm adding, though, is probably my biggest addition to the game yet. It's got 12 more PRCs, 4 feats, some barbarian and druid class variants, and a lot of changes for existing functionality, like duelists and 2 weapon defenses are getting some of the pen and paper rules added to them. So since, I guess, February or March, whenever that was, I've probably doubled the amount of PRC content I've got.
And so how many custom PRCs are in the pack right now?
Counting the 1.33 beta, there'll be 28.
Wow.
Yeah, and I think Mask of the Betrayer shipped with 8, and I think there were about 15 in Neverwinter Nights 2 when it shipped. I can't remember exactly on that one, though. But there were 7 or 8 in the expansion, and I expect they're probably Storm of Zaheer to have about that many, too.
So out of all of the ones that you've created, which one's been your favorite?
That would be the Anointed Knight, and it's Dark Mirror, the Warrior of Darkness. It goes back to why I got into it, you know, the champion type. And the Anointed Knight is a holy knight that uses alchemy and rituals to, you know, enchant his weapons and his armor and shield himself against evil. So he's pretty much the epitome of the White Knight to extend into from a paladin, and the Warrior of Darkness being another, you know, the dark side of that being, hey, I'm really evil doing scarring, tattooing, trying to counter good guys on the same vein.
Right. So just my pen and paper background is not really that great. So if you're wanting to achieve one of these prestige classes, say a paladin, would you just stick with a true paladin when you created your character and keep working it in the right feats and the right direction until you got to where you could make it that? Or how does that work?
How do you take a prestige class? Like Anointed Knight, it can be taken by non-paladins, but it goes more towards what your character concept is. I mean, you could do it with a fighter or a cleric, but you could also do it with a paladin. So some of the required feats for, like, the Anointed Knight, it just requires...
So if you meet the required feats, you can choose that as the next time...
Right. I mean, it's got 1 required feat, a couple skills you just have to have a few points in, and you basically have to have a combat level, your base attack bonus, +5. So once you meet the small set of requirements it has, then you can start taking levels in it. So a paladin by level 5 can pretty easily meet that, and then you just branch on into it. Now, if you're a cleric, you know, you're going to have to go up to about level 7, level 6, you know, 7 or 8 to be able to get to that. Well, actually, that's 9 or 10. So, I mean, it depends. Some of them are better suited towards others, but you can almost make any kind of character concept you want.
Right.
And the prestige classes are ways to push it in that direction.
Well, thanks for answering that one. That was kind of a personal question on my own. I've always had a struggle with trying to, and I think it's just a lack of pen and paper background, just how you build up characters. So that's an area I've been trying to improve on. So getting back to your PRCs, and you're working in the tool set to create these, I'm assuming. How well does the Neverwinter tool set suit creating prestige classes and all the other stuff you've been creating?
Yeah, the tool set pretty much supports what I need to do. It hides some of the functionality, like bonuses to stats and stuff like that. We can't really do on the outside. The developers could, but we can't. The tools, I use a lot of the tools on the outside also. TLK Edit 2 for editing my 2DA files. Neverwinter Nights 2 Packer for generating the actual hack files and everything for multiplayer modules. And I use a lot of WinMerge for diffing files to make sure that, hey, you know, the difference between this spells.tda and this spells.2da is different enough, or what's different, so I catch them between versions. Because it's pretty complicated switching between versions, and like the patch that comes out, I've got to make sure they didn't change something that's going to break something I've already altered, or I have to roll their changes into it. But the toolset is pretty flexible, and there's a lot of areas that we can add stuff in. There's just a few that we don't yet have access to.
So when you're going to create a PRC, what kind of the process is it that you go through? Is that something you could walk us through pretty easily?
Sure. Usually it's four steps for building a prestige class. I need to sit down, get all of the description text typed up, because that's one of the pieces that takes the most amount of time, is going, hey, you know, all the flavor text and what the feat does, what the spell does, typing all that up from the source books takes a while. So once I've got all the descriptions typed up, then I start working on the class 2DA files, and that's what says, hey, what skills are class skills, what feats can this class get, which ones can they take as bonus feats? What classes can I advance my spellcasting progression in? So it goes through all of those, and I build those. There's 6 or 7 files, I think. I've set those up for each one of those classes, and once I've got that all done, in the feats part, I'm putting placeholders in, going, yeah, this is going to be this feat that lets them turn into a lion. This is going to be another feat that lets them light their sword on fire. And I put some placeholder names in, and then I'll get to that in the third step, which is I sit down and I go through the actual feats list. And I come up with a full-up set of feat, you know, what's its requirements, set that all up in the 2DA files, and 2DA files are really just giant spreadsheets.
Right.
So it's set up, hey, this spreadsheet, I want to be able to do this. These classes can take it. What are the, you know, who is a target? All that stuff. What spell does it actually fire off? So then once I've got the feat all defined, the feat set defined, I'll go in and fix the spells, and that's where I put in the visual, hey, what animations should it play, what script does it fire, you know, who does it target, which classes, all that stuff. So going through those four things, there's probably 10 to 12 files I tend to hit a lot, not counting the 7 that are custom to each class. So if I added, like, this time for 1.3.3 beta, with 12 PRCs, I think it was, or 11 in one base class, there's roughly 43 files that I added just for the prestige classes in those 12.
Well, I'm going to say, because if you have a class and it has a spell that doesn't exist there, then you have to go create that as well. I would assume that means a little bit extra work.
Yeah. Oh, well, I mean, none of this stuff pretty much is already in there. Most of it has to be done from scratch. Like, I've yet to do, well, out of that 12, I think there was maybe 1 or 2 predefined abilities that I didn't have to go redo. Most of it is, hey, I need to do this for this reason, so I'll go in and add it. Even going back and doing changes like the Dragon Disciple, or Red Dragon Disciple, turning it into the Dragon Disciple. You know, it's one of those, go add in the dragon choice. So now they can choose from the 10 different types of dragon which one they actually want to become a disciple of. And then I go in and change it to where, okay, if they picked green, they'll have an acid breath. If they picked red, they'll have a fire breath. So I can even take their standard stuff and I have to go extend it more. So there's very little of the pre-canned stuff other than basic functionality, the stuff that's hidden in the engine that I can't change.
So that explains why in your pack, when you roll out the prestige class, there are accompanying spells and other stuff that come along with it, because they're required to make that prestige class work properly.
Right. Am I understanding that correctly? And I don't even count those. Yep.
Okay. Right. Okay.
Yeah, and I don't even count those in the list of how many feats or spells I've added, because those are just what's at a bare minimum required for a class to work, and very rarely is it shared between any other class.
That's very cool. So I heard you mention earlier you're using the 2DA editor. Are there other tools outside of the tool set that you use to pull this off?
WinMerge, the Neverwinter Night 2 Packer, and TLK Edit 2 are the three big ones I use. I also keep a subversion source control repository for myself to make sure I don't lose scripts or hose things up too bad between cuts, because I do a lot of experimentation and try and do new things with them, so it's nice to be able to hit the rollback button and, you know, get a do-over.
As a fellow software developer, I appreciate where you're coming from there. So on all the classes and spells you've created, and you said most of them are pretty true to the D&D specs, could you tell us about one time where you maybe had to wing it a little bit to get one of them going?
Well, the Anointed Knight is almost a perfect example of it. In pen and paper, they can choose from some ability bonuses. You know, I want to improve my strength, or I want to improve my wisdom. And they get their charisma modifier plus their class level, and then they look at this table to see what bonus they can actually qualify for. Well, we can't do anything like that in Neverwinter Nights 2 or 1. So it's one of those, okay, I can't really do that, so I pick one of those abilities off the table that they should be able to get by that level, and I give them that at level 1. And I did the same thing at level 4 and 7. So, you know, I kind of took the table and said, okay, these are the choices they would probably make, and put that. But there wasn't a real way to do the real choices just like in pen and paper.
So how do you approach balance in that, or if you do?
I try and not just, you know, go overboard adding stuff just for a specific class. Like, I could continue to add, you know, 60 spells just for clerics, and then clerics would be able to do just about everything, which, you know, that's a common complaint, they already can. I try and spread it out. A lot of it, I'll look at the forums, the BioWare forums for Neverwinter Nights 2, seeing right. where people complain about most on, you know, I missed this from pen and paper, or this is really weak, it could use shoring up, and I'll try and see if there's any feats in the source books that can go with that, like for warlocks, you know, give them some new invocations, or druids, their shapeshifting is pretty weak, so go in and look and see what else can be done. It's like, hey, you know, they're supposed to get their jewelry when they shift over, go ahead and add that functionality in, so now they're when they change into an elemental or a bear, they're going to be better than they would have been. So I try not to go just, you know, give everything to paladins or clerics, but spread it around, get some feedback from the players, the users of the content, and see what they would like to see, and balance it a little against what I think would be a general balance idea, because, you know, everybody's going to ask for the stuff they want to see for their class, regardless of whether it's balanced compared to everybody else. And pen and paper is pretty unbalanced given the whole scope of the source books. When they've got 60 source books, it's kind of hard to keep everything perfectly balanced.
Right. So you mentioned earlier that, you know, you kind of look at the BioWare forums and see what people are missing. So it begs the question there. It's like, how do you come up with a list of content that you're going to add and plan to add?
I go through one set and say, hey, this is all the stuff that I think would be cool to add. I go through the source books. I say, hey, this spell would be really cool to have in Neverwinter Nights 2, this prestige class, this feat. So I come up with a list of stuff that I want to see in there, or that I think, you know, hey, this fits a niche that we don't already have. It's some area, you know, bard PRCs. I'm not a real big bard person, but there's no great PRCs in the Neverwinter Nights 2 for bards. It's like, okay, I'll add Stormsinger, because I found that one in Frostburn. It's one of the source books. So it's like, okay, I'll put that on the list. Users can request stuff, like they requested that Barbarian Rage variant. It's like, you know, the normal Rage kind of sucks. You take that AC hit, so you hit a little harder, but then everybody tears you apart. Well, right. There's another alternative that actually lets you, you know, start buffing up your agility and your armor class. So it goes towards that image of the barbarian, you know, ducking and weaving, wielding his axes, going crazy, but making sure he doesn't hit the enemy, because you don't see, I mean, you watch the movies, when they go charging through the ranks killing everybody, they're not taking hits, they're dodging everybody's stuff and knocking everybody down. So try and find that as an alternate system, add that in, go through and look for what they find. It's like, hey, this is something that's core missing out of pen and paper, like sneak attack on spells. You know, the ranged touch spells are supposed to get sneak attacks, and they don't in Neverwinter Nights 2. It's like, well, again, that's an area I don't play that much of. I'm not real fond of arcane casters, but I'll go in, add that onto the list as content to do.
So I take it you spend a lot of time looking at the source books then.
Yeah, way more than I ever would have. I mean, I was never a big D&D person. I was always into BattleTech. So for me, this is a lot of going back and reading source books, and there's a lot of good, interesting material, but some of it's kind of dry. So it's just jump around trying to find the stuff that I could add to Neverwinter Nights 2 and skip the rest.
Well, now that you've got these prestige classes and their accompanying spells and other things, how would a module developer or, say, a DM, or what advice would you have for them of using these in a module or an adventure?
I try and come up with some documentation to help them on including it in and what kind of options they can set with it, because some of the stuff I add, especially if it's not pen and paper, I'll put options in. I've worked with, I think, 4 different PW developers now to get my content onto their servers. So there's at least 4 that are using it now, and they give me feedback on, like, hey, you know, this could be better, or this, you know, really doesn't work for online stuff, although it does for single player, so could you change this? And I'll work back and forth with them until I get that, try and update the documentation so that the next person can come in and say, hey, this is what I need to do to add it to a module.
So you know at least 4 persistent worlds are using them. Do you know of anybody of individual module makers that are using them?
There's one that's working on it right now, and that's Lady Elvenstar, a Nighthouse in Nestlehaven, and she's working on one called A Time to Die.
Right.
That's the only single-player one that I know of. There's 3 more PWs that are in development that are working on adding my stuff.
And what are those, if you have them, if you remember them?
I've got them on the credits. Just a second, I can tell you. The ones that are going to be adding it are the Frontier, Dungeon Eternal X, their Neverwinter Nights 2 server for it. And there was one that was thinking about adding it. It was Lands of Arcadia, I'm not sure. But the Frontier and Dungeon Eternal X are definitely going forward with adding it. And the 4 that currently use it are World of Talernon, Lost Dungeons of Adventure, Kingdom of Winterhaven, and the World of Skullport, Waterdeep, and Undermountain.
Very cool. So some of those are active now, and some of those are in development. Is that what I heard correctly?
Yeah, it's active on 4 servers right now, and it's coming online for at least 2 and I think 3. There's also a couple European ones that are using it, but I don't have that much contact with the DMs. I haven't talked to them in quite some time, but I think there's 2 more European servers that are using my content also.
So what does the future hold for you and the project?
Well, more of everything, pretty much. I think at their current time, I've got like 42 feats, 16 prestige classes, and 61 spells. I'm still looking at adding probably 33 more PRCs, 2 more base classes, and that's not even counting the 9 that I'm doing for Purgatorio, but I'll get to that.
I was going to ask you about that in a little bit.
Yeah. I've got a little master list, a spreadsheet that goes through and says, hey, this is the source book, and this is the feat or the spell or prestige class that I want to add. And I've got like 80 feats, 100 spells, and 30 or 40 PRCs on that list. So there's
a lot of source book reading.
Well, yeah, that too. A lot of typing, too, trying to type all that up. But I've got a rather large list of things I could do, and that's not counting, you know, people come through the forums and say, hey, there's this I want to see, this I want to see, that may or may not be on my list.
Right.
So, yeah, that list is never done, and there's always something to do. I can see myself being busy for quite some time. One thing I definitely would like to do at some point is do a module myself, but that would involve stopping work on what I'm doing right now.
Right.
And one of the parts of it that I really like, I'll have to wait for Obsidian to add to the game, and that's instant feats and spells. I can't really see doing the module until then because of I was actually going to use the 4th edition and make some changes and add it into a custom world of mine.
So out of all the things you said you've got on the list of upcoming content, what are your favorite pieces that you're waiting to do?
I've continued to put off the Paladin set of PRCs that I originally got into this for because I didn't want to be like, okay, I'm done with Paladin, so I'm done. So I've got, there's a trio of Paladins that I'm really looking forward to adding. They go to more than just Paladins, but, you know, Champion prestige classes. Same thing with Bard PRCs. I've actually grown pretty fond of Bards lately, so there's a set of Bard PRCs that I really want to add. I think it'll add a lot to
Bard. You're talking to my heart. I like Bards and Paladins. Those are my two favorite characters.
Yeah, those are definitely my two now. I've actually branched out from just Paladin. And one of the benefits of working with Persistent World developers is I've got a spell set waiting for me to integrate into my stuff that adds 47 more spells straight from Talernon. So they've added a lot of custom spells on their server, and we've shared back and forth. They've added my spells, and now I'm going to add their spells into mine, which is almost going to double how many spells are in my pack. So that's
wow.
One of the pieces I'm really looking forward to is going through and adding that in as well.
That's going to be awesome.
Yeah, there's a lot of working with the community back and forth on these.
Yeah. I want to start checking out some of these servers that's got them on there because I think I would love to play one of these. They sound really awesome. What's your current version of the PRC? Or is there any releases coming up soon?
I'm currently at 1.32.3, and I'm working on the fifth beta of the 1.33 release, the one that's going to be adding 12 PRCs and a bunch of class variants and stuff like that. It was kind of going to be this weekend due to the patch 1.3. That's been pushed, so I probably got another week or two to keep working on the beta and iron things out, so I'll see what I can toss in on top of it. And I'll go back through, spend a week of doing the testing on every function or piece of functionality and make sure it's good to go. So I should have 1.33 out in the next week or two.
All right, cool. I'm sure we'll look forward to seeing that, and hopefully you can shoot us a notice when you do, and we'll let everybody know that it's out. You mentioned earlier that you were working with Purgatorio team. What can you tell us about that and what's going on over there with that team?
I talked to Monty a long time ago about offering to do some PRCs for the Purgatorio team. Planescape Torment has got to be my favorite computer playing game of all time. It's just so well done. I love the game. So the opportunity, Mike, the new, I guess he's not the producer, I'm not quite sure what his title is, but he's the guy that's trying to get Purgatorio across the finish line now.
Right.
He contacted me and asked me if I was still interested in doing the prestige classes for Purgatorio. And it's like, oh yes, definitely. And I'm going to do 18 feats and 9 prestige classes for Planescape. And 7 of those prestige classes are for the specific factions in Planescape.
Awesome.
One of the classes that I'm going to be doing, it's a Whirlwind Dervish. It's one of those, you know, back to the, you know, I want agile, fast, and you know, dexterous fighter instead of just, you know, a brute barbarian or something like that.
Right.
And, I mean, this one's all about, you know, whirling blades, dancing. It's really skilled at dodging around the place. It's very roguelike, but, I mean, it's a pretty good fighter too, so I'm looking forward to that one. And then that's one of the ones that's not tied to a specific faction. We're going to be revealing one a week in September until it goes to October, when we think Purgatory is going to be ready to go. So,
well, that's exciting news, because there's been a lot of people in the community waiting to see the release of that one.
Oh, me too. Can't wait to play. I've made sure that I don't fire up the module and start looking at it, because I kind of hate to. I mean, I want to look at it, but I don't want to ruin it. So it's one of those. It's a lot of, just sitting on my hard drive, and I know it's there. So it's like, do I or don't I? So, but yeah, I'm definitely looking forward to it, and they're definitely making huge strides towards getting ready to be released in October. It may slip a little, but it wouldn't be much past that, I don't think.
Well, that's awesome news, too. Well, thanks a lot for taking some time to talk to us about your PRC pack and your work with Purgatorio. I'm sure it'll be incredible to see what continues to come out from you, and I'm sure I can't wait to play some modules that have already started using your stuff or some PWs. So again, thank you for taking the time to talk to us. Is there anything else you would like to add before we close out?
I'd like to thank you. I love listening to you guys when you guys do the releases. I download them and take them into work so that I got some enjoyment when I can get a break out of the daily grind.
Again, thanks a lot for taking the time to talk to us, and I've really enjoyed talking to you, and I've learned a lot. So thanks a lot.
Thanks. Glad to be here.
Okay, and we're back. Hey, that was a pretty good interview, Jay.
Yeah, it was a great interview, and I really enjoyed talking to him. It was really interesting to learning the differences of how to go about creating prestige classes and some of the things that he's working on and how much more he's got going on. He's been really busy.
I liked the way he described the difference between what P little RC stands for and versus the P big RC.
Yeah, that was really cool. I mean, I was confused about that too, so shows that my pen and paper ignorance there, I guess. It's just that Prestige Class is the P little RC, and that's the Wizards of the Coast, the way they abbreviate that. So it was really cool. I'm sure we'll see, sounds like, a lot more stuff coming out for him, as well as the work and characters that he's doing for Purgatorio. The stuff he's doing with Purgatorio, he actually is creating some Prestige Classes to go into the Purgatorio module. And they are starting to reveal those over the next several weeks, and we were sent some information on what those, in this next episode we will have a exclusive podcast reveal of one of the Prestige Classes that will be in the Purgatorio module.
Okay, so I guess that's it for this week, Jay. I know you are going to miss us.
It's only 7 days until they hear us again. So thanks again for everyone for helping support us out. Another way, if you want to show your Never Winter Nights podcast colors, is by hitting our store on Cafe Press. That's cafepress.com/NWNpodcast for getting your T-shirts. That's about the only thing we have up there right now is a couple T-shirts. But every time someone buys a T-shirt there, we get a few bucks out of it. So
we appreciate that
as well.
Yeah, or you can click on the T-shirt link that's on the main page.
True. You can do that as well.
So thanks for listening, and be sure to join us next week when we will have something. We're not sure yet.
Yeah, we're into the mystery episodes now. We're not going to really tell you. You'll just have to come check it out.
Actually, I think I might be safe in saying this, that I think Skunk might have captured, would that be the word, the NWN Bird Lady.
Uh-oh.
So we might have that one next week.
Bird on a wire.
I think her name is Rebecca Ann.
Sounds great. So you guys keep listening. We'll keep the side up and keep it going. So until next week.
Get in game.
And level up.
You can always reach us via our website at neverwinternightspodcast.com or by email at show@neverwinternightspodcast.com. You can also leave an audio comment or listener hello by calling us on Skype. Just call NWN Podcast, all one word.
The opinions and viewpoints expressed on the Neverwinter Nights podcast are not necessarily those of its sponsors or those of Obsidian, BioWare, Atari, their partners, or employees. The Neverwinter Nights podcast is a production of These Old Geeks, who is solely responsible for its content.
For now, I say we crack some of those kegs and drown the flagon in wine.
The Neverwinter Nights podcast.
The Neverwinter Nights podcast is copyright 2008.
Hello, this is Stephen Hawking. When I do not beam, I'm visiting outer space, or write books on theoretical physics, I play Neverwinter Nights, and listen to Neverwinter Podcast, the one and only Neverwinter Nights Podcast. The one and only Neverwinter Nights Podcast. Hello, this is Stephen Hawking, and you are listening to Neverwinter Nights Podcast.